Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gen Podcast. Neo here, along with our fan favorite, Vincent.
Hello, everybody.
So today we are going to depart from our normal topic of droning on for 30 to 40 minutes, maybe even an hour, about random topics, and instead pick three random topics and cram them into a show from the normal to the just plain weird. And you can thank the weird to Vince. Weird is all his fault.
I will own up to this.
So to start out, we are going to talk about something that's kind of a callback to your previous episode, which is what's been called the death of Mario. And it's Nintendo doing forced scarcity and taking out almost every Mario product from the online store, in addition to getting rid of the Fire Emblem, the original Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon game they put up there for a month only. And said they plan on doing this frequently as these timed scarce releases make more money than a typical re-release does.
Which I don't think it's unrelated that March 31st was when both games were getting pulled. And I believe that was the end of their fiscal year.
I
don't think that's unrelated at all.
No. What would make you say that? A company screwing over people just so it can quickly pad out its numbers at the end of a year? Vincent, a corporation would never do that.
Yeah, I know. They always have our best interests at heart.
So, personally, like, I'm not astonished that Nintendo did it. I think I'm most astonished that of all the games that they gave a strong hand to was Mario. Like, their flagship franchise that they use as a cash pinata. And that was the one where they decided, we're going to get rid of pretty much every Mario game except one or two off the eStore. Like, it defies reason.
Well, it's not out of the norm for them to make decisions that kind of make people confused. Because whenever they're pushing a new title, they might go after any fan-related project that was working on something even somewhat close to that field. Like, you had that thing pop up when Samus Returns came out, and not another Metroid 2 remake was, like, the big fan project of the week, and it got DMCA'd or whatever right before Samus Returns came out, that sort of thing. But for them to do it with Mario is a little bit high-minded, a little bit heady of them to do that, I think.
Yeah, and what worries me is the fact that they said that they're probably going to continue to do this because it makes more money. Because I could see them easily doing this with a Metroid Prime remaster. I could see them doing this with Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. All those hard to get games. Just put them out for a month. Say, if you get it now or it goes in the vault forever. And we all remember like the old Disney vault things. So personally, as a business student, it makes a lot of sense. And I hate that it makes a lot of sense because, you know, when you put that fear on people of you have to get it now or else, people are going to make some bad choices because they don't want to miss out on their favorite game. Like, I am not above this. If Fire Emblem Path of Radiance came out for the Switch, but only for 1 month, for $50 or $60, you can bet yourself I'm going to spend the money and get that because as fun as this playing on an emulator, I would much rather play it on the Switch. One, I don't think it's a sustainable business practice. Because everyone seems to be doing that. If you're a Magic the Gathering fan, like you have the Secret Lairs, which has alternate art cards, especially some that you can't get, or the remake of cards that are really good.
The Walking Dead Secret Lair with cards that you could only get from a FOMO set was absolutely ridiculous. And the worst part is it worked, Neil. I have the box sitting on my shelf. I wanted was Rick.
I haven't had enough money to buy a box, which says a lot, but all these different things of get them now or else, it's people's money is not going to go as far and someone's going to lose. And maybe it won't be Nintendo, but I would go as far to say as this industry of spontaneous here, this is only here for a month, get it before it's gone. I feel like this whole industry is a zero sum game to where the only way companies are going to win is if other companies lose.
Well, yeah, they're all fighting for a finite amount of resources. And Jim Sterling's idea of they don't just want money, they want all the money forever. It's real, it works, and these stupid things work on me. The company says consume product, and it's like I can't help myself. I went out and I bought Super Mario 3D All-Stars. So did I. Yeah, we helped perpetuate this because later on down the line, we didn't want to miss out on it. Or, like in my case, I wanted to play Mario Sunshine again with its lovable, water-soluble Yoshi. I don't understand why that was a design choice. I'm digressing. Sunshine's a decent game, as long as you're not 100%ing it. But that's another digression for another time.
Well, another reason we have to look at it is there are already people on eBay scalping it for $80, $100, $120. I saw one for $250. So we had to go get one because then we didn't have the option of, well, in a couple of months, there may not be one at GameStop or Amazon. So then we have to go to like eBay and pay five times the cost for it. I mean, it's, again, like I mentioned Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. I would love to play Path of Radiance. I am not dropping $200 for a GameCube game. I'm sorry.
I could just mail you my copy. But yeah, if they happen to do that with some of the rarer games that people were having hard times getting a hold of, because Path of Radiance is reasonably expensive. Dawn of Radiance is, I believe, similarly expensive. Outside of, I guess, remaking or just porting these games over to the platform permanently for people to pick up at their own leisure. And we know why they're doing it. Neil and I just suck. We talk about the things and then we do the things. And obviously other people thought they were going to miss out too, because I think their sales jacked up to like 300% week on week sales right before it got taken off the store. Because I think Monster Hunter Rise was number one at the end of March, but Mario 3D All-Stars was number two. I'm like 99.9% certain on that.
Yeah, and it's the issue of, like, the problem is, Vince and I understand what's going on. We know what they're doing. We know why they're doing it. But at the same time, we are still gamers. We still want to have fun. And as much as I hate to say it, every person has their price. And for us, like, it was, well, these three Mario games, two of which I've wanted to replay 64 and I've wanted to play through Sunshine for $60, or say, nah, I'm good, and wait until I decide I want to play it and I have to pay $250. So it comes down to that point where our podcaster side especially hates that what they're doing. We hate supporting it, but at the same time, we are still gamers and we still want to play the games and have fun. So we're essentially a captive audience.
Yeah, and everyone does have their price. I remember this one time I got left at the mall and Neil tried to sell me for a nickel. It was very degrading. I don't recommend that.
But I didn't have any buyers either.
Yeah, I think that was the worst part. I was auctioned off like a piece of meat, but there were no buyers. It was very degrading. But March 31st being Mario's death day is just, it's odd. Because Mario games sell very well over extended periods of time. I believe Mario Kart 8, I think it's 8 Deluxe is the one on the Switch. I don't remember like the exact subtitle they gave it. But that is now the best selling racing game in North America ever.
Wow.
Yeah. Of all time in North America, it's Mario Kart 8, which, one, I love kart racers, so that's kind of neat to hear. Regardless of how someone feels about Gran Turismo, or if you think another kart racer might be better, like Crash Team Racing or whatever, fine. Yes, although you can roll them all together, I think Mario Kart 8 was pretty decent. Obviously, it had lasting legs, because the Switch version was an updated Wii release. And it's been around for, what, 6 years? Maybe even longer? I don't remember exactly when that game came out.
There's only one way we can knock it off its throne, Vincent. We have to go talk to Rare, tell them they need to remake Diddy Kong Racing, and it had Conker in it the first time, but this time we need to have the Bad Fur Day Conker in there racing.
You know, a Diddy Kong Racing redo would be amazing. I thought for sure you're going to say something silly like Pokemon Racing, which I'm pretty sure has been done. But Diddy Kong Racing 2 would be amazing. I would greatly enjoy that.
But are you okay with the Bad Fur Day Conker being in there?
As long as you don't have to see the giant poo with the corn for teeth, I'm fine.
Nope. So
he can just flip people off as you pass him. It'll be amazing.
Yes. God, Vinny, we're old. We remember Diddy Kong Racing.
That was a Nintendo 64 game. It's, I mean, yeah, it was over 20 years ago, but it's not as bad as, oh, I remember Super Adventure Island or Adventure Island 3.
Oh, that's
and everyone's
true.
Like, what the hell is Adventure Island? That's exactly what I intended to elicit as a response.
So speaking of dubious business and legal choices, Vince, explain to us the YouTube issue that recently happened that kind of raised some eyebrows.
Oh, so I thought for sure you were going to be like, oh, dubious thing, Nintendo suing Bowser over Switch hacks. But no, we're not talking about that one, which is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like getting into a whole video game piracy ring based out of Washington State, it is out of the scope of this show. That may be for next episode. That's a lot to dig into.
I just love the fact that his last name is Bowser, the amazing guy from this hacking team that made whatever operating system for the like custom firmware for the Switch. His last name is Bowser. Well, that's brilliant.
And as we've seen throughout Nintendo's history, Bowser in the end always loses to Mario.
Yeah, but I think he gets more quality time with Peach overall. So really, who's the winner and who's the loser?
Oh God, now we're waxing philosophically.
Okay, so recently it came to my attention that when bad reviews are given to some developers' games, you can run into situations where DMCA is wielded like a cudgel against people who otherwise aren't really doing anything wrong. Like, it's just general fair use, but they try to get their channels taken down or get copyright strikes on them or whatever, whether they be Twitch streamers or just YouTubers. I've referenced them a lot lately, but Jim Stephanie Sterling recently had strikes against their channel by someone called Gilson B. Pontus, who regularly makes what appear to be low effort video games. There's not really a nice way to put it. It's you hop on something, like whether it be a horse or a dragon or something, ride for long distances and then get killed in one hit by something, or you fight something for a while and then you have to move on to the next thing that you need to attack. There's not really a plot. There's not really a lot of like lore or backstory given. It's just once a year, he puts out these games. They show up on the PlayStation Store and they're pretty bad. I actually wound up playing one of them from a few years ago, but they're also interchangeable. I can't actually remember the name of the one that I played.
You know, but it was that one where you did the thing with the person and yeah, you got it.
That's the funny thing is that all of the games basically looked the same. I think that was the worst part. And I wound up finding it on sale, I believe. But either way, my bad purchasing decisions are neither here nor there. This guy has kind of earned a reputation for being legendarily terrible. That's just what people call him, Gilson B. Pontus. And recently, Jim Sterling did a video on Gilson B. Pontus's latest game. And for some reason, Gilson B. Pontus decided to stagger a series of DMCA claims against Jim's channel to try and get the entire thing taken down. That's not the only case of things like that happening, where someone criticizes a developer for whatever reason, and then the developer lashes out trying to hurt whoever reviewed their game monetarily by getting their channel or their Twitch stream rights revoked. And I just thought it was interesting that of all developers to try and do it, it's someone who earned the name legendarily terrible game developer Gilson B. Pontus.
One thing I find interesting about this is, like, and it's... And you take out YouTube, like I'm obviously not going to give any names. Like I've been with Game Industry News now for, oh God, I actually hit my 10-year mark in about two months. And I have had people
send Congratulations.
Yay. I've had people send me games that were just foundationally broken. But after I got done reviewing it and giving it a 1-star, they would come out and email saying, I didn't just play the game right, or I didn't know what I was doing. And they would either ask me to re-review it. They would yell at the chief editor to have it re-reviewed, or a second reviewer would have to take a look at it. And I will actually say this game, I railed on Prototype 2. Like, I took no prisoners. I railed on this.
The Xbox 360 game?
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently they didn't like it, so it got handed over to our the former columnist and reviewer, Billy White, who reviewed it and gave it the exact same score I did and said everything I said was well-founded. But there was also someone who sent me, like, an old emulator. They just... half their games just didn't work. And they just would not take it's broken, and they kept fighting for months and months and months afterwards. And like, no one likes a bad review. Like, that's
right.
But at the same time, like, you have to understand not everyone's going to like your game. And taking revenge or attempting to change people's minds through force just does not end well. It makes you look incredibly bad, and it doesn't matter if you're a game reviewer, an author, anything. Like, I remember reading a random story where a woman in Scotland left a 1-star review for his book. So he flew from the US to Scotland, found her in a bar, and like hit her in the head with a beer bottle.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it's just like, I've gotten a 1-star review on stuff. Like, it happens, but like it's, to go after someone, especially when it's someone's livelihood, like that is a new low where you need to kind of stop, look in the mirror, and ask yourself what caused you to be this way as a person. Because I believe, I mean, yes, you can put out a statement criticizing Jim Sterling, saying you don't agree with his position, you feel this way about it. That's fine. But the minute you start going after someone's livelihood of trying to get their entire, especially with DMCA requests, YouTube takes those extremely seriously, and you can have an entire channel deleted and demonetized. And when you mess with someone's livelihood like that, like, that's crossing a line.
Well, it's also worth noting that whenever you file a DMCA claim and it's for a fraudulent purpose, you're actively committing perjury, and it's stated in the language of the notice that there could be legal repercussions taken against you in that fashion.
I would like to recommend a video. He does really good legal stuff. His channel is called Legal Eagle.
I love that guy.
Yes, he actually talks about a case where someone would do DMCA request and then try to ransom the third one, say, unless you pay me X amount of money, I'll slap a third DMCA request on you and get your channel deleted. And he's currently arrested and being charged. And he goes over kind of what YouTube says about the DMCA request, and what the penalties for filing them fraudulently. And I highly recommend his channel, not even for DMCA related stuff, anything legal. The man does good stuff.
He does a great video on the Chewbacca defense. It was very humorous.
It was.
Yeah, we've had a series of events where people were trying to do DMCAs, and it died down for a little while, but then it's kind of swelled back up again, where a YouTuber could wind up temporarily losing their channel, or a Twitch streamer could temporarily lose their partner. What is that called? The ambassador?
I think so.
So whatever that status is on Twitch, where you hit a certain number of followers.
Oh, partner.
Partner status. Thank you. Jesus. I have the worst words you've never heard of before, like fastidio. It's come back into play again, where people are running the risk of losing their channel over what really should decidedly be fair use. Or if it's not, we need to actually come up with terms so that way people aren't operating in a kind of legal gray area with these kind of things. And I understand that because all of our legislatures are older than dirt, it might be hard for them to understand how fair use can apply to these kind of things. I do think it would be reasonable to have just something on the books of, hey, when you're streaming a game, you can't just randomly get hit for, oh, this game has its own, you know, soundtrack. You're getting DMCA'd for the soundtrack of the game that the publisher itself said, yes, you can stream this. That's ridiculous. Then you have other cases of like selective DMCA, like where the developers of Firewatch, I believe, hit PewDiePie with a DMCA, but I don't really remember what exactly happened in that particular case. But when it comes to game music and soundtracks, or just people trying to do petty punishment over just bad reviews of mediocre or bad games, it's weird when your livelihood can be on the line for something so incredibly arbitrary. And I understand that with these games, people put a lot of effort and work into them. I'm a creative type myself, though everything I make is bad. It's garbage. Don't look it up. But when you put something out there, you're putting it out there with the risk of someone not liking it. Like, I remember when one of my earliest drawings, one of the first responses I ever got was someone saying, hey, this needs more camel toe. I did not in any fashion try to get that guy's comment taken down. I took it in stride. It was admittingly also kind of funny.
Yeah, and I will say I'm a creative type myself, and I don't mean to brag, but I am like King Midas, except everything I touch turns to crap.
King Mierdus.
But no, I mean, like when I first put out, I self-published a book. I had some doozies. Plot holes. Someone told me that it looks like someone was drunk when they wrote it. And I mean, yeah, it didn't feel good. I mean, I don't like seeing something I put time into being railed on as a piece of garbage that they wouldn't use as toilet paper. But at no point did it cross my mind of I need to go break that guy's kneecaps because he offended me. He bothered me. He was negative towards my work. Like, my ego is not that fragile. Nothing's going to please everyone. And honestly, we all get better as we do it. So it's just something that, I guess, as you get older and more mature, you're supposed to be able to just take and create constructive criticism and just move on.
My ego is that fragile. I need everyone to love me. I am not that mature.
I think we should really get to the hard-hitting topic now, Vince. Do you want to tell them what it is?
Sure. All right, Neil. Since we were talking about Mario earlier, I feel it's only right that we go over the largest topic that is pervading through our adult lives, and that is, do Yoshis deserve rights?
So here's everyone's legal debate for the week. Don't tune into Legal. Listen to us as we debate the rights of imaginary dinosaur animal things.
I mean, he does have nice shoes.
He does have nice shoes. So, Vince, what side are you on?
I don't think they should have rights.
Because?
Because if they do, then in Mario World, they have lemmings-level intelligence. If they had rights, I'd be Yoshilini with how many times I've been forced to like leave a Yoshi to die in Mario Maker or to try and make a jump, or even while trying to speedrun Mario Sunshine because that awful boat section, and for some reason Yoshis dissolve in water in that game. I still do not understand whose idea it was to make Yoshi water soluble for one game. It's nonsense. It's absolute garbage.
Well, Yoshi Wicked Witch of the West notwithstanding, I would argue that Yoshis do have some rights, because at the very least, based off of the mild bit of intelligence they have, which I would say is equal to a large dog, that they would get the same rights that you would give a pet. Where technically, Mario is a criminal for all the Yoshis he's abused and neglected.
Mario is the Michael Vick of dinosaurs? That's the idea you're going with?
Yes.
And I do think it's important to note that in Yoshi's debut, he was apparently so dumb that Mario was punching him in the back of the head to make him stick his tongue out. That was actually confirmed. He's not pointing. He donkey punches Yoshi to make him grab things with his tongue. And he just puts up with it. It's Stockholm Syndrome, or they're not intelligent enough. I don't know. And like, if we gave our dinosaur underlings rights, then we'd have to contend with the fact that Mario's killed enough Yoshis to literally fill a bottomless pit.
Yeah, I mean, that's about right. Because if you think about it, especially with all the sub games that Yoshi has had, or roles in Paper Mario, where
he ever been in Paper Mario?
I meant Baby Mario.
Oh, so like Yoshi's Island.
Yeah. So like Yoshi's have shown that they can be caretakers, that they can reasonably work some things out. Like, honestly, I think a Yoshi would be about as smart as either a horse or my German Shepherd. So I think, like, obviously, like, you wouldn't be talking human rights, but they would still have, like, a right to be, like, for the owner to feed them and not leave them out in cold. So, no, I feel like Mario could definitely, with all the Yoshis, would definitely spend at least 3 life sentences in jail.
So I think it's important to note that we're probably talking about either 2 distinct Yoshi species or 2 completely different time periods in the world where there's like an intelligent Yoshi species and a really dumb one. So like maybe they've evolved over time or something. Because in the games where like the Yoshis can reason, they can all work together and do something. But then at some point, they become blitheringly stupid and like rocks.
Or you're forgetting the main thing is there are smart Yoshis, but some of the dumb ones that we've seen were taken and bred like dogs, and we got the Yoshi equivalent of a French bulldog.
I mean, I was going to tie this back into how Mario was donkey punching them repeatedly, and that doesn't lead to great mental outcomes. But we can also go with the French bulldog take, which I'm sure is going to entertain a lot of dog breeders out there, which, you know, get your dogs from a shelter. Don't go to puppy mills.
But, I mean, you do mention...
Do you think there are Yoshi mills? Do you think, like, they're just Yoshi breeders in that world, and that's why all the egg... Like, they're so irresponsible, they just leave eggs everywhere?
Oh, absolutely. And going back to your point about punching them in the head repeatedly, I mean, if you got think about it, almost all of those Yoshis have to have post-concussion syndrome. Like, their head's got to feel like church bells.
Honestly, what would be worse, getting punched in the head repeatedly or having to listen to Mario cry all the time like he did in Yoshi's Island? I think it's telling that the entire species just, you know, didn't commit its own genocide after having to hear that for an extended period of time.
I definitely agree. And
what were we talking about? Oh yeah, Mario is a big dumb monster who drops dinosaurs into pits, sets fish on fire, and destroys castles for fun. That was it, right?
Yep, that hit about everything.
Awesome.
So maybe March 31st wasn't the day Mario died. Maybe Mario's finally getting sentenced for his crimes.
Well, no, they have Bowser on trial for that. They have to try him first, and then they'll have the Nuremberg trials or whatever for Mario.
I would say it's a kangaroo court, but there's no kangaroo, so I guess it'll be, I don't know, a turtle court?
It's a stone, Luigi. You didn't make it. No, nothing for the Super Mario World cartoon. Fine. You be that way.
In case anyone's wondering, it's been a rough week for both of us.
Yeah, I had an Italian man latch onto my back and punch me in the back of the head all week.
And then he just dropped me in a pit like I was a Wile E. Coyote.
But no, seriously, like how many Mario, I can't even name you how many Mario Maker levels I've played where you have to like drop that little dude into lava. It's ridiculous. If they have rights, we are committing like genocide on a like weekly basis.
And just look at Mario's eyes. Look deep into his eyes. There are dead Yoshis dancing in there.
That must be what Luigi's afraid of all the time.
Well, yeah. Would you be afraid if you found out your brother just kills semi-intelligent animals nonstop just so we could accomplish tasks?
Do you think the raccoon suit that he wears actually came from a real raccoon? Have you noticed that there's no real raccoons in the Mario world? Oh my god, we've cracked the code.
Oh, I don't want to know what else he does with the raccoon suit either.
You disgust me.
But that's why you keep me around.
I mean, pretty much. Someone has to. It's either I listen to you or I clean hairballs up off the floor.
I don't know. That is a tough choice.
It's really difficult for me to eat all of that hair at once, you know?
Yeah.
That's a joke by subverting your expectations because you think it's a cat and then you find out really in the end it's me.
You just can't stop licking the fibers off the couch, can you?
Oh my god. I've never even thought about trying that. Do you think that if you were playing D&D and you cast the speak to plant spell and the speak to the dead spell at the same time, you could talk to furniture?
And I think we might have gotten off the beaten track just a little bit, but yes.
I actually don't remember what the subject was at all now. I'm very tired.
So on that note, before Vinny passes out on his keyboard, thank you so much for joining us this week. We look forward to seeing you next show. I do want to let everyone know that I will be off for two shows as I'm currently moving to a different location. So we will have guests taking my spot. And I can only assume one of those two would take my spot permanently because that's just the way things go. But I hope to be back in a couple of shows. Until then, thank you so much for joining us. And make sure you visit the website at GameIndustry.com.
Enjoy yourselves.